Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. And we're coming to you. I'm coming to you live. And today is August 24th, 2014. My goodness. Time flies when you're having fun. Hope you're having fun out there. And we've got an interesting show tonight. We're going to actually talk a little bit about gardening coming towards the end of the season. Yeah, any kind of wrap-ups, any kind of things that you're doing. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Some of the things that I actually got out of coming from Belize. I stayed at a particular complex. I'll talk a little bit more about that. And what they're doing is they're looking to establish ecotourism ecotourism activities, events that are around Africans in Central America. It was kind of like a cross thing. So, should be interesting. So I'll integrate that into the show. And we'll talk about anything else that you guys want to talk about tonight. So we've got a pretty flexible and open schedule. So, without any further ado, and let's do the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating a community of possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991, August 24th, 2014, north, south, east, west, above, below, and within. Wait a minute. Did that from memory, but I think I left it. Declare, stand. Okay. Moment of silence, please. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Now it's the ancestors. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Many blessings, many blessings. Hope you're well. Hope you're feeling well. Hope you are engaged in a purposeful life. We're going to talk a little today about sustaining life. How do we sustain life? What are some of the ways, some of the things? We're going to talk a little bit about gardening. We're going to talk a little bit. You know, I'm actually thinking about talking a little bit about some of the issues that are occurring. In our community, the killings, some of the killings that are taking place. I don't want to get too deep tonight, but I do want to mention it since it's up and about, and document some of the things that are going on. So, if you're interested. and you're on in the chat room, you can dial in at 646-716-9827. Also, I recommend that you take a look at our website, www.blacksummit.org, for more information on some of the programs and some of the things that we have available. And we have lots of things available, so please take a look. I'm actually going to put on my headset so that it probably sounds a little bit better. And some people have said that they can't hear me when I'm speaking on the phone without my headset in. So let me do that in case you're having trouble listening to me. So I want you to listen to me fully and powerfully, be engaged in the conversation. I hope this is better. And so let's start off with, what was my comment? Having a purposeful life. So one of the things that, Henrietta is on, is traveling. She's actually on her way from Baltimore and back to Chicago. So she's doing some work in Baltimore this weekend. And so we wish our co-host safe travels. So she will not be joining us. But what we will be doing, is talking about preparing your gardens for harvesting and general gardening I guess philosophy, principles, tips to enter into the winter season, or actually into the fall / winter. Okay, I got a little sniffle going on there. That's not good. I don't know what that's about. Probably need some rest. Oh, excuse me. Boy, keeping me up. Okay, so one of the things that you should have done by now is collected your garlic, for example. And you are also looking to prepare your raspberry bushes for the second batch. So there might have been some of the first batch yellowing. So you can actually prune that and get that ready. I notice that my blackberry bush, one of them is growing not quite out of control, but it's grown pretty wild. So I'm going to need to look at pruning that back so that it will actually have more limbs. And one of the pieces actually is browned out, so I'm not sure if that is typical when it bears or brown out. So that's something I'm going to have to take a look at and really monitor this year, because it's the first year that my blackberries actually had a had a batch. I have to look at my at my my raspberries, because they're taking over, so I need to back them up a little bit. They're trying to take over my garden, which is not a bad thing. I don't want my garden to be just raspberries. My strawberries are probably, if I start giving them sufficient water, they probably can come back as well. If they don't get a lot of water, then they're just going to kind of chill, dormant, and wait till next year. So you can begin to put them, make sure that the area that they're growing up in, there's not a lot of other things grown in that area. So you want to really do some weeding and do some you want to do some things to make sure that they can breathe, that they're breathable, that they have enough space to do what they need to do. Let's see, what else should have been harvested by now? You should be getting tomatoes by now. If not, you should be getting close to getting tomatoes by now, because otherwise you're going to run out of season pretty soon. So if you got some green ones, and remember, if they begin to yellow and turn red, you can actually pick them and leave them in your windowsill and allow them to get ripened. This still will be better than the ones in the probably one better than the ones in the some of the supermarkets with that are non-fleshy. So it's important to do that as well. So so tomatoes, your onions, scallions should be ready. Your collard greens should be ready too. Collard greens should be pickable, so you can actually begin to harvest them. And but don't pull up the plants, because they will be, I've had neighbors who have had them 5, 6, 7 years. You definitely don't want to pull it up, but you want to make sure that it doesn't have any aphids or aphids, as some people call them, A-P-H-I-D-S. Usually they kill the younger plants, the younger leaves that are coming up. So you definitely want to make sure. And how you can do that is with a little soap. I think it's a couple of drops in a gallon. Something mild, though, something like ivory snow or something like that. Something very, very light. And you're only talking about 2 to 3 drops, if that many, per gallon. So it's very, very light. And if that's not strong enough, then just add a couple more drops per gallon. But test it out. Basically what that does is it they can't stick to the plant, so they actually slide off. Interesting kind of concept there. The other natural solution is to buy ladybugs. You actually can buy ladybugs online, and ladybugs are aphid killers. You like that? They are ferocious when it comes to eating aphids. The problem is keeping them in that location. Although I've seen traps where they are able to keep them, like a mesh to keep them in a particular area or on some bushes, on some specific bushes. But that doesn't happen too often. Let's see, what else? We talk about the strawberries. Now is actually a good time to get the mint up. If you've got mint left and you want to dry a substantial amount to store for the winter, now's the time to do it. And you can either keep it outside to dry, or you can actually put it in your fridge and allow the leaves to darken. And then you can put it in the Ziploc and make it available. So you can do that with the mint, with the sage, with the oregano. You can basically do it with just about anything you want. Oregano, you could do it with the thyme, and especially if you have big leaf thyme. My aunt and a couple of her friends, they will do the green onions and the thyme, and they will mortar it. They'll crush it up and put some onions in there as well, and create a season. And that season they'll use all year, all winter. And it's like a little green paste that's very good because it's got all the natural stuff in it. They put a little bit of olive oil in it just to kind of hold it together and kind of keep its consistency. So let me repeat that. So that could be oregano, thyme, green onions. What else would you put in there? Certainly put a little white pepper or black pepper. Choosing some garlic. You want to mash up some garlic in there so it's got a nice garlicky flavor in there. And so, you know, basically what you want to do is you want to do herbs that you enjoy, that you like the taste of, and so forth. And so you put that and make that paste, and then it's great with your meats. I don't eat seafood, so I would put it with my fish. You can put it inside the gut of the fish, on top of the fish as well, so to allow the flavors to soak in. I know people use it with chicken and pork and lamb and goat. So those are the other things that they could be very tasty with. I would imagine, yeah, those would be very tasty with that. So that's something else again. Something from the garden is fresh. You've made it. You've maintained it. Now, there's pepper. You could actually make hot peppers. And I believe that's with a little vinegar. My neighbor did it once, and had some onion and some scallion. She had some red peppers and she had some jalapeno peppers. She had pieces of onion. And I want to say tomato in a vinegar mixture. And, oh, my goodness, she made me a little bottle. That sucker was hot. And I normally enjoy hot sauces, but this was I could only use a little bit of this one. This one was really hot. I'm a Scotch bonnet man. I can handle that habaneros as well, but this was beyond very good stuff. So anyway, so those are things that you can begin to use out of your garden to preserve it and to make sure that you've got it available when you're looking to cook with it later on this winter after you've harvested. A lot of people will You know, it's a great gift idea. You can get some of these bottles. You know, little small bottles, and you can fill them up with oil, and they're actually quite good, and they make really great gifts. So you fill it up with olive oil, and then you'll put in some rosemary or some thyme or whatever particular flavors that you happen to like, you can give those as little gifts around Christmas time for other people who are cookers, you know, who like to cook, who like to have, you know, not necessarily exotic flavors, but, you know, but some nice flavors. So you can use the, so there are a lot of things that you can harvest and keep and utilize over the cold weather to support your cooking. I actually enjoy using the sage. I actually burn it. So I use that. A lot of people, you have heard sage sticks for cleansing. So you actually can make your own little sage stick by wrapping it and, you know, allowing the sage to actually dry out, and then you put it and you can light the ends of it. So, you know, various interesting things that you can do with the garden to preserve and to... now, a lot of people, I'll tell you, interestingly enough, a lot of people will actually, blanch their food and then put it in the freezer. So that's another way of storing. So if you've got a lot of something and you're not going to use it and you want to make sure it doesn't go bad, and blanching is you bring a pot of water to boil, and then you pop whatever you want to blanch in there for about a minute and then take it out. So therefore it kind of seals the flavor, preserves it so it doesn't go bad, and you can put it in the freezer and then when you're ready to use it. So that's another way of preserving stuff from your garden. So these are all little kind of tips and techniques and things that you can do to ensure that the toil and the energy and that you put into your garden, you can actually maximize it and get the most use out of it. So those are some of the tips and some techniques that you can use. One of the things that's interesting is I actually came back from Belize, haven't seen it done before, because they actually do it in Ottawa as well. But in Belize, where I stayed, they did composting. And so I started separating my organic waste, and I'm going to do a little open compost in the backyard, and hopefully I won't attract too many critters, so I'll have to probably cover it from time to time. Or if you you can buy one of those composting drums, and you can put in your leaves. Leaves from the trees in the fall are very good. Any kind of waste that you're going to now pull up and instead of throwing it out in the garbage, you can put it in a composting bin, and they have some that you rotate it every 10 or 15 days to get the maximum decomposition of the organic material. So there's definitely a lot of things that you can do, again, to sustain your garden. One of the things I've been doing this year, I started to question, you know, every year or so, or certainly every other year, I put down manure, Commonore, dehydrated Commonore. And I got to thinking, well, this cow isn't grass-fed. Then all I'm doing is adding steroids, because whatever that cow is eating is going into manure, and that manure is going into the garden. So I'm not guaranteed that I'm truly organic when I look at it. So what I've been doing is I've been I always did eggshells, but I kind of made it an extra point to do eggshells, and I got myself a clam shucker, so I'm buying clams now, and I'm keeping the shells and breaking up the shells and putting that, mixing that in the soil. So I know that that would be organic and help to revitalize. The other thing I'm going to look to do, I was to do that this year, and I didn't do that the start of the season. So I will be doing it I'm going to start doing it now. And I'm getting the, you go to the fish store, and the fish store's got all the parts and the guts and the discs and the scales and all that stuff. So I'm going to put that in the soil. So I'm going to mix that and turn that over in the soil as well. So I'm going to be looking to be more self-sufficient in terms of being able to revitalize some of the nutrients that I'm taking out of the soil. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live on August 24th. And we are talking, tonight's topic is harvesting your garden and sustaining your garden. And before I get back on that topic, I just wanted to let you know that we will be going, we just came back from Belize. And we will be going to Atlanta, Georgia, for our 25th and annual event that will be happening, which will be next year, 2015. So we're very excited at that as the 25th silver anniversary. And so there'll be a lot of special things that we'll be doing and talking about. And I'm hoping to have some merchandise. So maybe, as they say, if you come up with the idea, then maybe you need to generate it. So so I'm going to look to – I actually had this idea of having some bags, drawstring bags. And I'm thinking about doing something with that for the upcoming year. So in honor of our 25th. So check out our website, www.blacksummit.org, and certainly we've got lots of information on there about what's going on. We have prerequisite events, which is a course. It's a standalone course, but we actually use that course to introduce people to how we do business, how we work inside the summit, but really as a introduction to authentic listening, because part of what we do and most of what we do, and I'm going to say the most powerful part of what we do is we listen. We listen to ourselves and we listen to life, and it's through listening through life is where we get the insights and we get the breakthroughs and we get the opportunities to do things differently than we might have been doing previously. So the prerequisite course is one of the courses that is available as a standalone course, but we use it to prior to attending the summit, the annual summit event. And remember, the conversation, the summit is a conversation as well as an event. And the event is the annual event, and the conversation is what you bring with you. So inside of the prerequisite course, that you are introduced to the conversation that the International Black Summit is. And so you therefore have it and can do it at any point in time in the year. And we do provide some tools inside of that listening to support your keeping yourself on track. We have what they call distinctions, and the distinctions are the ways in which we impact and keep ourselves on track and move forward through the trials and tribulations of life. So that's one of the programs that we have available. We also have summit shares. We have a community event. A community event could be the prerequisite course, or it could be the prerequisite course plus several days' activities inside of the conversation of the International Black Summit. So we've got some different kinds of things that are available. We can custom tailor things to your particular needs. So if you've got an organization out there that you'd like for us to work with you, please contact us and let us know. Also want to let you know that we do have several different conversations inside the International Black Summit. So we have our adult conversation, of course, which is from 18 to infinity, and you're welcome to be part of that conversation. And again, the prerequisite is one of the programs in order to be able to sit in an annual event, an adult annual event. We have a young adult is from 18 to 35. So we're actually, and if you're, and you can choose, if you're 18 and between 18 and 35, you can choose to be in the young adult or you can be in the adult conversation. So it's up to you where you feel more comfortable, where you see yourself as being able to get the biggest bang for your buck. And really, when I say that, I mean that in terms of what's your purpose and what's your vision, because we do vision work and purpose inside of that context of the International Black Summit, such that you begin to get some clarity around both your vision and your purpose. And what we say in the International Black Summit is that if you have a vision and you're clear what your vision is, then your purpose sort of comes up automatically and you're able to, your actions, you see the actions to take that are consistent with your vision, which is inside of your purpose. So it also becomes very clear. And so you have some clarity about what is left, what is next to be done, what do you need to be doing, what do you need to be looking at going forward, and things begin to line up a little differently. So those are two of the conversations. The third conversation is the youth conversation, and that's from 8 to 17, and that's called the Youth Summit. And the Youth Summit is, now, all of these conversations are the summit, but they're different access points. So the things that the adult room is talking about, the young adult may not be talking about. And the young adult might be talking about things that the youth are not talking about. And the youth may be talking about things that the adults are not talking about. So you've got all of these parallel conversations. However, inside of those parallel conversations, there's some symmetry in terms of vision and purpose. And so all of those are parcel of the conversation of the International Black Summit. And so we're about empowering our community, looking for ways of support and facilitating and empowering and sometimes paradigm shifting as well. So we're all part of that complexity of life. And we're all evolving, and the summit is evolving as well. So where we were in 1991, we're in a different place now, you know, soon to be 25 years later, inside of the conversation and inside of our growth and development and what we have taken on as well as how we have taken it on. You know, one of the interesting things, when I look back at the prerequisite conversation, is that we had a turning point in Toronto, and I believe that was 2000 or 2001, where the importance of the vision kind of crystallized for us, and we saw that people lose touch with their vision. And so inside the prerequisite course, one of the things that we do, some of the work that we do that's germane to getting us grounded is, what is your vision? And beginning to look at what your vision. And a lot of people don't remember or don't recall that a goal is different than a vision. And so a lot of us have fallen prey to, and let me speak for myself. So I know for myself, when I was inside of this conversation, I had a goal as my vision. And so what I got to see was that the goal is something that I can accomplish myself, but a vision is something that I have to accomplish with other people. So I'm standing in that vision is going to be fulfilled, and I've got to have other people partnering up with in order to have that vision be accomplished, as opposed to a goal I'm going to do it myself. So those are some of the conversations that we begin to talk about and engage in. And certainly, as a community, discuss openly in a matter of not looking or pointing to blame, but to really look for solutions. And I want to got a couple people on the line. I'm actually going to shift the conversation a little bit. I'd like to talk a little bit about Ferguson, there's another shooting in St. Louis. There was a woman in California that got beat up by a California highway policeman or policewoman, I'm not sure, but it was a woman, a black woman involved. Well, let me say a woman. I'm not sure if she was a black woman. I believe she was, but don't want to misquote. And then I saw an interesting comment today on Facebook where an officer was immediately dismissed for killing a dog. But yet we've got policemen that are killing black men that are still getting paid. So I just thought it was kind of some irony there for me. So I'm going to open up the lines. If you'd like to comment, press 1, around the state of policing and policing in the black community and some of the things that are going on inside of that, that you just may want to comment about. And again, we are about looking at solutions and looking at ownership, responsibility, and accountability. So those are the three things that we talk about specifically in the Youth Summit, but we talk about in general in the International Black Summit: ownership, responsibility, and accountability. And what those three things mean to you in terms of us being accountable, responsible, and owning what's happening in our community with the police and with ourselves. Because the issue is not just us, but it's also about black-on-black crime and what are the things that we are doing to curtail that, but also, are we being a demand to the police force to treat us with the dignity and respect that we need? And do we have to get violent in order to get their attention? So we've got some folks in the chat room. We've got some available lines, 646-716-9827. You can certainly call in, and we've got a caller, 201-966, go ahead, you're live on the air. 201-966, go ahead, you're live. Do you have a comment?
Yeah, I was on mute. I was on mute, oh, saying okay. Greetings and peace and love.
Oh, hey, Niamo. I thought that might have been you. How's it going?
Oh, it's wonderful because I'm declaring that the state of my, headspace in this moment. I was going to comment about your earlier comment about goals versus vision and stuff like that. But when I look at it again, I say, well, you made the shift to Ferguson, and it brings to mind a couple of things for me. One, I was associated with Sister Queen Dorothy Benton Lewis. Queen Mother Dorothy Benton Lewis was also a facilitator in the International Black Summit. And greetings to everyone there. My name's Niamo. I'm also a facilitator in this conversation being given to the world and life by people of Black African descent. Anyway, so I was thinking about Dorothy and how she was a facilitator and how she wanted activists to have this conversation. And when you just articulated and distinguished for us what we should be looking at, not as a should, but more as this is what we say we stand for inside of the accountability of it. And I was looking, because I'm working on alignments right now, I said, well, this is the perfect time to work on the list of all the alignments in the past 5, 10 years, or 3 years, depending on how it goes, for some updating material we have to do for the organization. And I said, well, then I'm going to put on the radio show. And so accountability is just a huge, huge, huge piece, and our declaration states something that has bothered some of us, and it will continue to be something that we should grapple with as a people, because it could be that if we change that piece or if we look at that and be accountable for that statement, that, you know, things might just shift. And that statement is in the declaration, we stand for the expression of our spirituality. It's in the third paragraph or third or fourth paragraph, ending the murders of our men, women, and children. That's what we say in our declaration. So in the universe, it is said, once you make the noun is out there, the noun, the verb, whatever, the subject, verb, noun, agreement, the murdering our men, women, and children is what we have as a declaration. We're talking about ending the murdering of them. However, how about honoring the lives of each of them? And I'm just present to we're accountable. We're accountable because we're still doing things that murder each other. And to actually think, I believe in engagement in terms of what's going on with the world here. I mean, I don't think that we should ignore at all. I would not ignore what's going on. If it was in my neighborhood and it was right here, I would go down the street and be part of the protest. I've kind of done that. You know, those of us from the 60s, now in the 60s, we've done that. 60s, you know. And so it's not right. I'm not present to that being the best way to use my time in this moment, you know, because I'm more accountable to help create the structure for what's going to come behind me so that we don't have these issues. You look at your example. They suspend the guy for killing a dog, and they don't do that for killing black people. And it's just been open season for decades. It's like this was just a final straw of one of many, and because we have a sitting black president. And so it's perhaps more excruciating. It's more harmful to our psyche that in this moment, you know, we've done all this work, we've reached the pinnacles, we've been the first in all these European, Caucasian, and white led organizations and corporations. We've reached the summit and gotten a lot of material advancement under our belt, which is all quite good when you had nothing and you were a slave. And now is the time to look inward, because like the rest of the folks, including our light-skinned cousins, as my friend calls them, everyone's looking inward now because we're one world. This is what we have. This is what we've generated. We've generated the internet. We can all be connected. And what else can we do but be better citizens of the world, except look inward and improve our interactive humanity? So it's time for us to use the skills of literacy to actually speak in such a way that it requires and demands a different response from people. The way we speak must demand and require a different response from people. So therefore, what we're doing with the entertainment world, you know, some of us, we just need to sit down with sit down with the entertainers and say, okay, like, we probably won't do our time like that. We probably will not use our time that way. But I'm just saying, since we know that some of us get a lot of airplay and airtime and stuff like that, and I actually saw on Facebook people chiding Iyanla VanZant for having the chief of police and then, or the cousin of somebody, and then somebody from the, I don't know if it was from the brother's family or not, but having them sit down and holding their hands, and they're calling her out, like, you know, how dare she and stuff like that. I'm like, y'all don't understand. Truth and reconciliation. She's just trying. She's just trying to do what she know how to do. And more of us need to just be bold about trying to do, about doing something that is very different from what's been done before. It cannot look the same. It will not look the same if we intended to stop. And this is why Dorothy stood for reparations. And I'm saying to myself, I'm like, well, the reparations started right here. Start a fund right here for everybody to be, everybody get tickets to go over there and have a big sit down, a big indaba, you know, whatever. I have a lot of ideas about how to use some reparations money for certain. But yes, we're owed for this consistent ignoring of our humanity. It's clear that the evolution piece, it's been taken literally. You actually think we're apes or something between the whole missing link thing. You actually think we're the missing link thing or something. I mean, why is it that you don't, well, are we still three-fifths of a person? That's still on the books. Are we accountable for taking that off the books? Would that change something? There's lots of ideas floating, and I'm certainly in the idea pool. All right, I'm finished. I'm complete. I got myself off. It's been brewing in my brain all this time. So I appreciate the opportunity to share with you, Glenn. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I mean, you know, it really is it's a conversation for us to look at and to, you know, this whole notion of being responsible. What does it mean? How do we do that? And you're right. It's interesting because in the last year or so, we've actually gone back to protesting, which was 60 years old. Mm-hmm. We haven't come up with anything new, which is kind of interesting. And my assessment of protests, which yes, people are riled up and very proactive about things in that moment, but what about 2 months, 6 months, a year later, when that thing is forgotten,
right?
You know, and no change has really been done, and I think that that's been the case in a lot. I mean, I look back and I remember one of the young men that I hung out with got beat up one night. I wasn't out that night. But we normally would stand around the corner from my house, and it was around the corner from his house because he was on the next block, and so it was the street in between, and there'd be, you know, four or five of us, and we'd sit and talk and kind of chat about stuff and, you know, not bothering anybody, not committing any crimes, and police officer came by and broke us up and, you know, said some remarks. My friend's brother said something back to him. Lo and behold, they handcuffed him, took him to the precinct, beat him up. They had pictures of his of his wrists, double the size, you know, his knuckles and his hands, double the size from being handcuffed and beaten. His face was all bloodied and mashed up. And so that was, what, high school? So I was in the 70s. And so, you know, I look back and I say, well, not a whole lot has changed.
No.
And you know, where, what, you know, what, as a black man in America, what do I do? What is there for me to do? What do I see to do to affect some kind of change? And the reality of it is, I'm not sure. I know that what I see to do is to make sure that the young people that are around me at least understand and know that this is a game that's out there and to be mindful of it. But I see a lot of our young people are hot-headed, and the first thing they want to do is yell and scream and get the testosterone level going. And that's the very worst thing that you want to do in those kind of situations, because you want to de-escalate it. And so, you know, I'm also, it was also interesting that there was a shooting in St. Louis of another young man who had stolen two sodas. Now, supposedly he had a knife, but he wasn't coming at the officers. They made no attempt to taser him. They made no attempt to shoot him in the foot. They shot him dead 5 or 6 times in his chest area, in his torso. And then had the nerve, after they shot him, roll him over and handcuffed him. Which I, you know, which
that's
was
on video or something?
It's on video. Now, I actually shared the video, and what I noticed was 2, maybe 3 people liked it and commented. That's it. But if I show something about something else, I get 50 million likes and 50 million comments and so forth. Yeah, for example, right now my profile is a fish that caught a barracuda. Yeah, that's great. But, you know, but that's not changing anything socially. You know, there's no social. It's a nice story. It's a nice picture. But it's not something that will impact social change here. Whereas this video, I presented and I asked some questions about where are we going as a society when we escalate to excessive force immediately without considering any other options, and nobody wanted to comment about it. I completely understand why. So, I mean, you know, so you look at it, it's like, well, that's not a friendly topic. That's not a conversation that we want to have. But yet, it's a conversation that we need to have going forward. And you know, the police work for us. It's not the other way around. We pay their salaries with our taxes and so forth. They should be working for the better good of our community, not coming in and taking pot shots and scooping up our young people and putting them into the prison complex, which is another conversation that is a bigger conversation for society than just, you know, crime and drugs. But it, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting, and you know, this is not the opinion of the International Black Summit. This is Glenn Greenwich talking and expressing my views as an individual, and these are the kinds of, I would say, engagements that we have inside the International Black Summit. We look at what is, you know, what are some of the solutions? What are the complexity of the problems that exist? Community, can we begin to look at it? Because I know one of the things that comes to mind is jobs. Because if you can provide young people with some jobs, they can be more productive. They don't have to sell drugs to make their money. You know, so they're, you know, so anyway, I've said a lot. Anything that you would like to add or comment around?
Yeah. Actually, you said some very interesting things that caused me to think about some of the givens that we have. We have a given that you mentioned, which is the police is supposed to protect us. We pay their taxes, et cetera, and so on. One of the things that I enjoyed being a part of the activist movement, especially the reparationist movement, is that certain aspects of the existence of the African American and what enslavement really meant to this country and to life post-enslavement really helped clarify where we are as a people. And like you say, this is my opinion. It's not the opinion of the International Black Summit. But when we say we're here to clear ourselves, to listen for what life is saying and being for us and telling us, this is what I'm doing. I'm clearing around this particular issue because we as a people who were brought from another country, you know, kidnapped, et cetera, went through a Holocaust, were enslaved and denigrated and participants in the victim end of Jim Crow discrimination and black codes. Some of us did come here free. Some of us were merchants. Some of us were sailors. We came here free. Those were even made into slaves. They weren't allowed to be free anymore. There's a history that is very rich that shows consistently declaring that we are free people. We demand to be treated as human beings that finally resulted in Brown versus Board of Education in 54, and then in the 60s, all the protests having us gain more recognition and visibility as free human beings. Now, what never was done was something called a plebiscite. No one ever took a survey, that's not the right word, but in other words, we as a people never said, we want to be citizens of this country. We want to be citizens of everything you got going on, applying to us as included in your Constitution. All that has to now apply to us, and we declare that is what we want. We were never asked to do that. I don't have the record of information as to whether some of the past activists and revolutionaries for our freedom stood up and demanded that per se, but what I distilled from conferences over the years is that the African American, the person who we now call African American or African descendant, actually never agreed as a group to be part of the same system that oppressed him or her, us. And it's okay. We could have said, listen, we like the Bill of Rights. This sounds good. Now we want it to apply to us. We like the Constitution. This sounds good. We want it to apply to us. But what we've done, however, is stepped into this civil arena, and now so we're acting as if all of that stuff applied for us when it's always been clear that it did not from the beginning. From the beginning, we were chattel slaves. We were owned by the people who wrote that stuff up. And we've never quite addressed that. And I just believe that we really have to tell our children that as well. I mean, there's a lot of little things that we just take for granted, and that's one of them. That's an example of one of them that we just take for granted, and we really need to bring that up. You know, we didn't necessarily agree to do it the way it's been done. We never actually talked out what our humanity and respect for humanity would look like. We never said, listen, you got to take that, the black man doesn't have any rights that the white man is bound to respect. You have to take that off the books. You have to remove that. We never, you know, we never did that. This is work to be done. This is work that could still be done. And I assert that it can be done in such a way that respect is built into the process and the message is communicated through the blue wall, because that's what it is, I find. I mean, it's obvious. The white members of the police, the rookies, they actually give themselves extra stripes for killing black people. It's evident. There's just no other reason for it. And so we have to assert our dignity, because the dignity does come from the Creator. And we have to assert, listen, this is what we did. Y'all didn't quite do this right. We were standing for this being how we interact with you. You know, we kind of skipped a couple of steps. And as we go back over that, let's, you know, continue to, you know, talk it through. The hardest thing is to talk. And the police were set up in the very beginning as ways to catch runaway slaves, as a system, as a structure for catching runaway slaves. So this all must be readdressed as part of looking today, looking newly at where we are in the history, because it's repeating. It's not changing, because we're not really addressing the core and the root of it, which has to do with the genesis of how it was created in slave catching, for in other words.
You know, it's real interesting, and we're out of time. But the one thing that you've said that has also shifted in me, you know, when I first heard about the reparations and that whole process, I said, oh, yeah, it's nice. It probably never happened, but it's nice. But what I'm noticing is that when you look at the cost, you begin to look at the collective economy that was supported, and you begin to talk about what you just talked about in terms of the processes that didn't take place inside of our thinking, inside of our acceptance, which is all part of that whole process. Because if you're going to come down to a number, all of those conversations need to be had in order to get to whatever that number settlement, is provided. And you're right. There have been some critical conversations that haven't been had, that in order for us to move forward, I think need to be had. And so I think I'm left in the place of what you just spoke. Very clear that is inside of a bigger conversation that I am now called to be a little bit more mindful of and a little bit more supportive in the possibility of it as a process. As a number, getting to the number, I'm not so fixated on the number that we'll get to, but in the process that we'll take in order to get to any number. And I think that's the important piece that you've uncovered for me today inside of this conversation of the International Black Summit. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We are live from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday evening. The call-in number is 646-716-9827. Please join us in the future. Please check out the website, www.blacksummit.org. to find out information and to check in and just let us know who you are and what you're up to, and we'll be posting information on facilitator retreats, the business meetings that we have. So if you're interested in attending any of those events and that you're summit eligible to be able to do that, then certainly you know, we invite you to come out and to participate. And we are going to have a very extra special annual event this coming August in 2015 in Atlanta, Georgia, being our silver anniversary. So we'll be speaking about that in upcoming weeks. We're going to have an early start to that conversation. And, you know, please join us going forward. And as always, thank you for, Nyamo, for sharing your thoughts tonight and participating with us. And those who are listening after this date, certainly you can call in and comment or send us an email and let us know what you think or what your thoughts are. And we'd love for you to come on the show and share those thoughts with us. So with that, thank you, Nyamo.
You're welcome.
And thank you, listeners, for lending your ear and being an opportunity and a possibility to the conversation called International Black Summit. And with that, we bid you a good night, a good week, and a powerful and safe journey inside of your life. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings,
God bless.
Good night. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.